You're on Alive 90.5 and you're with Jim and Darren, and we're looking at a whole range of aspects under spotlight that help influence people's lives. Really enjoyed today, Darren.
We're going well.
Yeah.
So many great people that we talk to and so many great tips, as well as learning about our community here in Western Sydney.
It's fantastic. And I'm really delighted to have on the phone now a very good friend, an exceptional person who is a lawyer, has been a lawyer for some 40 years, and has really been a soldier in helping so many people in their hour of need in a whole range of areas. And that is my good friend, Stephen Brown from Edion Lawyers. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning, Darren.
Good morning.
Steve, you've been involved in lots of legal matters, and over that 40 years, society has changed in relationship to law and legal matters and so on. And over the next three or four series with looking at law, we're going to examine and explore a whole range of areas that influences and unfortunately sometimes has a big impact on people's lives. We all start a relationship, and unfortunately, we all are born and we die. And in between that, there's a whole range of things that happen. I want to look at, and both Darren and I actually want to look at, is the whole concept around wills. I mean, the first question is, do you really need a will? I mean, there's so much talk about them. And what is a will?
I'll take the second question first, if I may.
You sound like a lawyer, Steve.
Well, yeah, you keep on saying the 40 years, so I suppose after 40 years it gets into your skin and you can't do much else about it. A will is simply a document which expresses a living person's wishes as to what they want to happen with their assets on their death. And that's all it is. It's a statement of, these are the things I'd like to see happen with my money. I want it to go to this loved one. I don't want it necessarily to go to this other person. I want my body to be buried under the rites of the Roman Catholic Church. I want my ashes to be distributed in accordance with Buddhist tradition. Whatever they happen to be, all of those particular issues ought to be addressed, because this is your last chance of getting the, not the last word, because there'll be other people living, but if you want something done or dealt with, this is the opportunity. So that's what the will is. For that reason, they are important. They're important for the person making them. It allows them to get their expression put into place. It allows them to state what their intentions are. Because of complications with legislation, with the Succession Act, an old will may not be viewed by a court, if ever challenged, to really contain a deceased person's wishes. Therefore, updating them on a regular basis, even if it's to repeat what was in the old will, is a very useful thing to be done. What I mean by that is that under the Succession Act, a person who is a dependent on a deceased person's estate, and that terminology can be quite broad, especially in the area of today with same-sex relationships, that you can end up with very complicated situations, and someone who feels disgruntled can make an application to the court saying, I've been left out entirely, so I want a share. And the courts will potentially hear such matters, and an old will, judges tend to say, well, the person maybe didn't give consideration to this person, therefore this person's argument to get a share of the estate is more valid than not.
Steve, let me just explore that, because my understanding is, and the figure may not be totally accurate, but it says it's a big figure, some 50 to 60% of people in Australia don't have a will. If that is if that assumption is correct or a large number, what happens? You know, I pass away today, haven't got a will. So what?
When a person dies without a will, the technical term is they die intestate. That is, without a will. The states and territories of Australia specify that on the death of someone without a will, then if there is an estate to be dealt with, someone who is close to that person needs, one, to make an application to the court to take control of the remaining assets for the purpose of distributing those assets in accordance with a statutory regime. And then those regimes are slightly different from state to state. And that's the what happens on death when you don't have a will.
So, Steve, let's explore that. And thank you for your informative comments. When a person dies intestate, are you saying that the courts will take over that person's estate?
No. Normally a friend or family member will make an application, and if the court is so minded, the court will order that the friend basically take the role on as executor, although in an intestacy they are known as an administrator. So it's not the state that does it. However, once the administrator is empowered to look after the estate, the way in which the estate is to be distributed is set in stone by legislation. So they don't have a choice to say, well, let's say there's a partner that's left and there are four children. Then what happens is the spouse, the partner, is entitled to the personal effects of the deceased. Jewelry, pots, pans, things like this. They're entitled to what's known as the statutory legacy, which is $350,000 adjusted by the CPI, which was started. Then the partner gets half of what's left. Then the other half of the residue is divided equally amongst the children of the deceased person.
That sounds very complicated. We need to explore more and more of this, because today is just really whetting the appetite of different things. Steve, I've just come home from work and, I'm 60 years of age and I think I'd better do something about this. One of my friends just passed away. Can I just go and grab a piece of paper and just say I'll leave everything to Carol? Is that okay?
Just like people can commit murder, it's physically possible to be done, but it's not advisable. So, yes, it can be done. Look, in certain circumstances, if you thought you were dying of COVID-19 and you were not able to get to the hospital, then doing that would be better than doing nothing. But it is certainly better these days to talk to a lawyer rather than getting a will kit, because we understand the issues. We understand about intestacy. We understand, for example, that if you're putting a will together and you're not a lawyer, then you may think, how do I deal with my super? You might think you own the super. You also may be in control of trust assets. You also may have shares in a company, and you might own 80% of those shares in the company, which the company then owns real estate. And in your mind, you will consider that the assets are yours to do with as you want, when in fact they're not. If the company owns the assets, you can't leave them in your will. You can leave the shares, but you can't leave the land. with the trust estate, you might be able to leave control of the trust to someone, but you don't have control of the assets within the trust. And as you'd know with super, then there may be a subsisting binding death nomination which will take the super from your estate, and the super will never hit your deceased estate. And so a person is making all these plans on erroneous assumptions, which will all come to, I think they'll go pear-shaped, but probably using a polite term, and the wishes of the person writing it just don't come to fruition.
So, Stephen, I'm just thinking through all that. So I may need to write a will, say, for example, I have at least superannuation. So you're saying that most of us should actually go and talk to a lawyer to work out the best benefits of writing a will in a structured way such that you're not caught out. Yes, we're going to be dead and it's going to be someone else's problems, but we want to leave the best problem to those who maybe are executor or administrator. So is that what you're telling us this morning?
That's exactly what I'm saying, because you may think that I'm leaving, you want to leave the super to someone, but let's say you've got 200,000 in assets and you've got 100 in super and 100 in cash. Now, if you leave the super to children as opposed to a partner, then they will have to pay tax on the super if it goes to the estate. Whereas if you leave it to the partner, they won't have to pay tax. So you could end up benefiting the children by giving them the money in the bank account rather than giving them the super. And now, each way, they both the children and the partner end up still with 100,000, but they end up with more if it's done correctly as opposed to it being done in a less thoughtful manner.
So just looking at that, the takeouts for Darren and I are to look at the whole world of intestacy, looking at the whole world if you do write a will, if you're so inclined, better than having no will, but really quite clearly not really addressing a number of issues that you've spoken about, in the sense that what we're looking at there is dependence and non-dependence and the tax issues associated with that. I think that's really where you're driving our conversation this morning.
Oh, absolutely. And there's other complications too. Like if you leave money to a recipient of Centrelink, that may not be useful to that person, because that person will then be subject to means and income tests, and they may lose all these other fringe benefits of pharmaceutical benefits and medical benefits by giving, if you're thinking of helping someone, it might be the proverbial white elephant that you're giving them. And it may not be in their interest to get this money because they will be deemed to have it for a number of years. You can only give $30,000 away every 5 years. So if you're left with $60,000, then it could take 10 years for that to wash through for the purposes of Centrelink means testing.
Alive 90.5. Live 90.5, Spotlight with Jim and Darren.
We're continuing hearing the great story and the great legal aspects associated with wills with Stephen Brown from Edion Lawyers. You're on Spotlight with Darren and Jim, and we hope you're enjoying our show today. Situation. I mean, is it two or three areas that people tend to have the word that I want seems to be of concern is if they've had a child previously, maybe when they were young or whatever, do they make a provision in the will? How does that take place, if at all? Number two, a very important one, is that you may have someone in the family structure that because they've been terrible or mean or something, you want to show it by leaving them very little or nothing in the will. Does that have any complications?
Short answer, absolutely. It becomes a real nightmare, quite frankly.
Well, tell us about it, because as you rightly pointed out at the beginning of this show, the complications and changes in relationships, the blended families and so on, I often hear people say that when they die, they're not going to leave anything to X and they're going to leave most of it to Y.
Yeah.
And I have always wondered whether that has any implications at law.
The general rule is that the testator or the person making the will has the freedom to decide where their assets are left or to whom the assets are left. And unfortunately, the legislation has changed over the years where the law now imposes on a testator to consider whether a child or relative or dependent has been adequately cared for. And adequately cared for depends upon their age, the individual's, the dying person's financial circumstances. Are they leaving a large estate, a small estate? And also the financial circumstances of the person to whom the money's being left to. So if you were saying having two children, let's take a non-contentious situation. You've got a child who has a disability and you've got a child who has become a movie star and is making, has net asset position of over 100 million Australian dollars. And you decide to leave all of your assets to the child that's on NDIS and not give anything to the famous movie star. Now, if the famous movie star was aggrieved and tried to challenge that, they probably wouldn't get very far. If, however, rather than a famous movie star is the other child, you have another child who is on the margin of poverty and they have a disabled sibling, then in that particular case, a court may be more minded to do an equal distribution between the two children, or may take some more innovative role whereby they have a greater, they may form a trust where maybe the bulk of the money goes to the disabled child during the life of the disabled child, and on the death of the disabled child, the money then reverts to the able-bodied person, if I can use those terms without being discriminatory. So these are the complex issues that lawyers have to sit down and work through with the parties. And for that reason, you know, simple wills can result in enormous complications at the end of the day. The parties need to sit down with their lawyer. When we do a will, it can take sometimes maybe 1 to 2 1-hour sessions each time to sit through and go through all of the issues that they need to think about. Then they come back and we discuss them again, and then we put a will together and then have another hour before it's signed up. So it's not a simple process, and therefore it does come at some cost. But if you're going to do something, you need to do it properly.
Well, Steve, let me ask you this. Carol and I, we're going to finish up with this and move on to another aspects of wills and estate planning. What happens if... Well, there's two parts. Firstly, what happens if I die in another state? And I have a will and so on. Which one? What laws take precedent? And the other matter that I'd like to talk about later is looking at the whole area of guardianships and those aspects associated with how the wills can be looked after and so on. So could you come back to us and look at those areas for us and our listeners?
Oh, absolutely. Yep, love to do so.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us this morning. Stephen Brown from Medion Lawyers, very informative, helped us really. You raised so many issues and thoughts for us to consider what we're going to do for our loved ones and other people with regards to our assets and other aspects. So thanks for being with us this morning, Stephen.
I look forward to chatting again soon. See you, Darren. See you, Jim.
Alive 90.5.